Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Good morning, Vietnam! Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 75 of... Ugh, that got me choked up. Oh, dear. Episode 75 of Hippie Witch, Magic for a New Age. My name is... What is my name? Woo-hoo. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the pleasure-seeking creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, Putting the K in Magic, and, of course, Hippie Witch, to show you are listening to me cry on first thing on a Tuesday. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com, and I've put a link to that on the description page for this episode back at Blog Talk Radio. Holy smokes, this is the funniest intro I've ever done. I'm sorry about that. I think you already know that I'm a little bit of a crybaby, but I didn't know that doing that little tribute intro was going to make me cry. So today's show, obviously, is going to be a little all over the place because, well, for one, I wanted to talk about pleasure, and come to find out, it's a much bigger topic than I thought it was when I originally came up with the idea for this show. And also, Robin Williams just died, and that is definitely not pleasurable. Well, not for any of us down here. Just, you know, despite religious dogma, for all we know, he may very well have set himself free, which I imagine was his intention, and maybe he is enjoying a bit of peace and some pleasure right now. I like to think so anyway. I know that he certainly brought he brought a lot of pleasure to my own life, and by the looks of what's going on the internet, he brought a lot of pleasure to the lives of millions and millions of people. He made us laugh a lot, and he also, in movies like Patch Adams and Dead Poets Society and Good Morning Vietnam, he touched our souls in a very deep way, and I think he chose those movies consciously. I think that was part of his soul contract, and he helped us to see the beauty in life and all its gorgeous potential. And despite the crying, that is what I'm choosing to focus on, because I really feel so much gratitude for this man's life and the tremendous respect for the decades-long work that he did doing battle with his demons. And he held them off bravely, I think, for so many years and accomplished and gave so much in that time with his truly unique talent and his super rare energy. And he was also really open about his struggle, and I have a lot of respect for that, too. He was just a beautiful human being that Robin Williams was, and so I send the utmost love and compassion to his family and friends and the millions of fans who are mourning his loss, because he really was just a cool dude. So, yeah, let's wrap that up. I'm just a softie that way. I don't know. I can't hold it together. And it's interesting because this is something I'm noticing. We were talking about this last night and this morning in my, I have a private Facebook group for the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year, for those of us that are participating in that. And it seems like this weekend's full moon, this past full moon, was weirdly powerful and especially emotional for a lot of people. It seemed to just, I know full moons are typically they're supposed to bring a lot of emotion to the surface and dredge up all your junk. But I don't always feel that. I think my son does, but I really felt it this time, and it was interesting to me to read the comments there and see how it affected everybody. And even some people are wondering if that had anything to do with Robin's passing, because the energy was just so palpable. So I thought that was interesting. For me, this weekend's energy was very releasing. I had a lot of anger building up in me. I don't know if it was already there, but somebody triggered me. And I didn't really know how to deal with it. I have two beautiful, saintly girlfriends who kind of helped me through it, you know, and I felt like it all kind of come to a head, and I was able to release it finally this weekend and just let it go. And that's actually what made me want to do this show. And kind of going back to talking about my girlfriends that helped me through this, we also have our own little private group of three on Facebook where we support each other. And we originally put that together to support each other in business, but have just found that the personal and business, they just touch, especially for women running businesses out of their own home. So we get into everything there. But I noticed it wasn't so much what my friends said to me in support, and they said a lot of supportive things. It was seeing my feelings in print that finally allowed me to see the anger and to see the bitterness. And then I'm the kind of person that once I can see that's going on, I can let it go. I can choose to transform it in some way. So it just helped being able to talk about that. I'm also really open in my newsletters about this stuff, as you probably know. But I just realized, like, once I was able to let it go, everything just kind of fell into perspective. I got back into gratitude, and I started thinking about pleasure and how, you know, why have your own business, for example, if it's not a pleasure for you? Because there's a lot more, there's many more easier, what am I trying to say? There are easier things to do with your life. It's very challenging to be an entrepreneur. And if it's not fun, what is the point in doing it? I started Kick-Ass Witch to follow my bliss and to have a pleasurable life. And so sometimes things will piss me off, or I will get angry about something, or I'll feel myself getting super graspy or pushing too hard. You know, that stuff kind of creeps back up on me sometimes. And then I have to remember to let it go, let it go, let it go. So I did that, and it got me thinking about how important pleasure is, almost as like a guiding, not almost, as a guiding force in your life. So this week's Book Nerd post that I posted yesterday afternoon, it was for Mama Gina's School of Womanly Arts, Using the Power of Pleasure to Have Your Way with the World. Such a fun book. And then I wanted to follow that up by doing today's show. And, you know, life, it's interesting. Life, I've talked about this before, many times before, but it really applies to the pleasure principle and how pleasure can be a guiding force in your life. When you think about, you can look at your own life and see this, when you think about how life moves more smoothly and things, good things, flow to you with much greater ease when you are in your pleasure, when you are following your bliss, when you get into a positive mindset, everything seems to start to go your way. And conversely, when you are being a big old rage monster, or you are holding on to some bitterness, everything seems to go wrong. It seems to have like a domino effect. You know, if you get out of bed on the wrong side of the bed, so to speak, in the morning, it just seems like the whole day proceeds from there. You end up stubbing your toe in the bathroom, dropping your toothbrush in the toilet, hitting every red light on the way to work, making yourself late for work, pissing your boss off. It just all starts like spinning out of control. Whereas the exact opposite is true if you wake up and maybe you have to take a second, but you can get yourself into a state of gratitude for the day ahead. And, you know, look out your window and be like, oh, the sun is shining, or isn't the rain so beautiful, whatever. I'm just so happy to be alive. And you really, you're not just having those thoughts. You're feeling those feelings, and you're getting into a pleasurable state of mind. It's amazing how things just seem to go your way. You find a $20 bill in the laundry in the jeans that you haven't worn in, whatever, 2 months. Why is it taking you 2 months to wash your jeans that you haven't worn? I don't know. But, you find it, it's extra $20 bill on the couch cushions, and you hit every green light on your way to work, and people are complimenting you. You get a raise. Like, there are days like that, and it does seem to be that there's, like, a certain flow, and you get onto a trajectory. And it's interesting, too, to note that in marketing, which is something I'm super fascinated by, it's like there's sort of an evil side to it. Because when you study marketing, there is something, there's something called creating scarcity. And it is a very popular marketing tool that many marketing gurus push and sell. So, you know, you're playing on people's fears. You're creating an environment of scarcity, and that's often more effective than the promise even of pleasure. So if you scare the crap out of people, you can separate them from their cash, lickety-split, and it's kind of like that. And so I just think that's interesting, just a little aside I wanted to throw in there. But one of the first psycho-spiritual lessons that I learned back in my teens was, please don't cringe, because I know you've heard me say this so many times, but it's true. It was from Anthony Robbins' Awaken the Giant Within. I almost can't say that with a straight face, because I know so many people think that's just nerd fodder. And I mention it so often, but I'm a nerd, in case you didn't know that already. And what he goes by Tony now, so let's call him Tony Robbins, although I knew him as Anthony back in the day. He says, the secret of success is learning how to use pain and pleasure instead of having pain and pleasure use you, which is very handy, comes in handy when you are being marketed to. Are these people pushing my buttons and, you know, igniting fear in me? Are they activating the pain principle and creating an atmosphere of scarcity so that I throw a bunch of money at them in hopes that they will solve my problem? It's good to keep in mind. But this applies to success. This pain and pleasure is sort of like twin forces that shape your life. I think that's how he words it. This applies to success in your relationships, including your relationship with yourself, your food choices, your fitness levels, any kind of addiction issues, the way you choose your friends, the way you conduct your career, keep your house, entertain yourself. Everything we do in our lives is to either move away from pain or toward pleasure. I feel like I should repeat that. Everything we do in our lives is to either move away from pain or toward pleasure. And I urge you to look at your own life and to ask, is that true? Because I'm not going to tell you it's true. You get to decide for yourself. Is it true that everything you do in your life is either to move away from pain or toward pleasure? Interesting question to ask. And I think it's a really interesting question to ask for those of us that have issues, let's say, with procrastination, you know, or we're just frustrated by our own ability to change a behavior or to take a certain action that we keep saying we're going to take but we never get around to. The way that Tony describes it, I feel so weird calling him that. Anthony! The way Anthony Robbins describes it is you keep trying to change your behavior, which is the effect, rather than the cause. So does that make sense? So the cause is this, what I'm talking about, moving away from pain or moving toward pleasure. If you can get into, like, stopping for a moment to realize what is driving you, what the cause is, you might be able to change the effect. And procrastination is, on some level, it's you believing that putting off what you need to do will put off the experience of pain. It is a desire to move away from pain. And so you put it off and put it off and put it off and put it off, and ironically, it becomes more and more painful. But that's really just a mindset. You can flip that paradigm around if you can get really conscious of what you're doing. And then you can start driving yourself in a different direction by imagining the pleasure that you will feel after you do whatever it is, the thing that you're avoiding doing. Or if you feel more driven by avoiding pain, if that's like your regular MO, then if you feel more driven by avoiding pain than attaining pleasure, you can also change your mindset by changing what you link pain to. So you can envision the pain that will follow if you don't do whatever it is you think you're supposed to do. Like, how's that going to pile up on you? How's it going to get more painful? You can envision that, and then that can be your motivation to take the right action or the thing that you're avoiding doing. I also, I like this. I marked a page in my Awaken the Giant Within. I did a book nerd post on this, too, a while back. It wasn't very popular, but I don't care. I stand by my choice. He says, we have all experienced those times in our lives when we've said, I've had it, never again, this must change now. This is the magical moment when pain becomes our friend. It drives us to take new action and produce new results. We become even more powerfully compelled to act if, in that same moment, we begin to anticipate how changing will create a great deal of pleasure for our lives as well. I couldn't say it better than him, so I just decided to read that excerpt to you. And he also, somewhere else in the book, talks about never leaving the scene of a decision without taking immediate action to reinforce it, which I think is important, an important step to, you know, changing what you link pain and pleasure to. You know, you have to build your pleasure like a muscle. So right after you decide to make that switch, you know, on what you're going to focus on, you switch your focus, take an action that will get you out of pain and into pleasure right away. You might have to use some visualization to get into that feeling state of pleasure, because that first workout after sitting on your ass all summer, it might not be the most pleasurable thing. But completing that workout, the feeling of having done it is pleasurable. And also just little things like this. Us humans, we love a reward system. So putting a little smiley face on your calendar after that workout also might get you into a state of pleasure, especially if you accumulate a lot of little happy faces in a row. And I think, you know, we do that with kids. They get gold stars and stuff like that to reward them. But inside, we're all just children. And you can reward yourself. I was talking to a coaching client, and really just a wonderful woman, over that I've gotten to know over the last couple of years. I was talking to her over the weekend about confidence, and I was saying how you can't really talk yourself in to having confidence in any real sustainable way. You can't emote yourself into confidence. You build it one brick at a time through action, which got me thinking today that confidence is absolutely pleasurable, right? It's one of the most pleasurable feelings that I can think of, really, and it's its own reward, and bonus points, it builds on itself. So action leads to confidence. Well, it depends on the action, but we're talking pleasure here. So action leads to confidence, which leads to confident actions, which lead to more confidence, and it just keeps building and building. And when you're feeling confident, you don't need any third-party validation to carry on, because you know you've got this. You know what you're doing, and you're confident in your ability to do it. So I just thought that was interesting, because to me, feeling confident is such a pleasure, and it leads to so many other different kinds of pleasure, and people really gravitate toward a confident person. So if you're looking for love, that's a little tip for you there. And going back to Awaken the Giant Within, this is like becoming the Anthony Robbins show today. These things keep popping into my head from this book. He makes a really weird comparison between Mother Teresa and Donald Trump that actually makes a lot of sense when you think about it. He says that the difference in
their life choices has to do with their values, which are obviously on opposite ends of the spectrum, but they are both, when it comes down to it, motivated by the exact same force. They are both driven by pain and pleasure. And he says that their lives have been shaped by what they've learned to get pleasure from, and what they've learned will create pain. And I just think that's so wild and so true. The difference between Mother Teresa and Donald Trump is what they link pain and pleasure to. And one more thing that just popped into my head from that book, and I swear to you I will not say Anthony Robbins again, at least not today. But I feel like I have to say it. It's about how do you change what you link pain and pleasure to, which I think is the trick. You know, it's one thing to say change what you link pain and pleasure to. Yes, simple enough. But then you have to find a way to link massive pain to a pleasure that you want to end, or massive pain to a behavior that you want to end, or massive pleasure to one that you want to integrate into your life. And the example he gives, I may have even mentioned it on a show sometime, I don't know, it's one that has stuck with me over the years, is of this lady in his audience who, like, stands up, a lady, it might have been a man, it's been a while since I read that, but this person stands up and is like, I love chocolate so much, I just love chocolate. I think she's even wearing, like, you know, proud chocoholic t-shirt, and you can't make me stop eating chocolate, I love it, I never get sick of chocolate. Chocolate, chocolate, chocolate. And Anthony, in front of whatever, the ginormous number of people in the conference, is like, all right, okay, let's get this woman some chocolate. And so they just start giving her, like, chocolate, tons and tons of chocolate. Right when she finishes a chocolate bar, they give her another and another and another, and until, like, he goes over to her and offers her another chocolate bar, and she screams, you can't make me! And that is the example, you know, he gives of linking massive pain to be able to change a behavior. So now she has an association with pain to eating. I've heard parents do this, actually, with kids and cigarettes. I don't recommend doing that. But I've actually heard of parents who, like, caught their kids smoking, and they would, like, make them sit in front of them and smoke an entire pack of cigarettes until they were puking. I guess it's the same principle, but I don't recommend doing that to your kids. Please don't do that to your kids. That's abuse. Don't do that. But really, the whole point is it's about creating new neural pathways in your brain. So every time you indulge in a certain behavior, you strengthen that neural pathway. It's like a rope that gains, like, another layer. It just gets stronger and stronger and thicker with every behavior that reinforces that choice. And before I end today's show, I also wanted to talk about guilty pleasure, because this is something I've thought a lot about in recent years, since I discovered the pleasure of Twilight. Why do we use that term anyway for, like, the most innocent things? I'm sure there are guilty pleasures, you know, and I'm not even going to rattle them off. I'm sure you can think of many. But we use that term really loosely and describe all kinds of things that are really quite innocent, you know, like indulging in a really beautiful cup of gourmet ice cream, or sneaking away to the movies on a long lunch break, or my personal favorite, reading a novel that is decidedly and unanimously voted lowbrow. And I used to be a person that, I think I just had a chip on my shoulder because I didn't go to college, and I knew I was smart, and I wanted people to think I was smart, and I was going to be smart, damn it. So I love books, as you know. So I really started out my big reading adventure, like, once I was out of high school and buying books on my own and reading, with Dostoevsky, if you can believe that, and then, like, all the classics. And I enjoyed it. I'm not saying those books were not pleasurable. It was a pleasure. It was interesting. It was mind-expanding. But I only read stuff that was, like, highbrow or critically acclaimed, and mostly just from dead people, all the way up until my mid-30s. That's all I read, and that's all my bookshelves were filled with, and I was very proud of it. And then, to make a long story short, because I tend to ramble, my husband went out of town on a business trip, And I was so embarrassed, but I really was curious about this whole Twilight phenomenon that people were talking about. So I bought Twilight and watched it on my laptop, like in the dark, like I was doing something terribly wrong. And I enjoyed the hell out of it. I loved it. I loved the forest. I loved Edward. I am a proud feminist, and for some reason, I love Twilight. But I loved it, and so I immediately had to read the books. And then that's what got me hooked on reading books that other people are not impressed by. And it got me thinking about guilty pleasure. And I've read a lot of guilty pleasure novels since then. This year I've read a lot of Nora Roberts. It started with her book Dark Witch, and then I bought the sequel to that. And in waiting for the third book in that series to come out, I read the entire Donovan Legacy. And when you mention it, people will be like, I know it's not good writing, or I know it's not, you know, a good book, but I loved it. Or they'll call it a guilty pleasure, and I'm thinking, you know, how is this not good writing when it connects so strongly with millions and millions of people? It flows beautifully. It flows just like a movie. It's completely entertaining, and I'm getting so much pleasure out of it. So I'm going to try to not say guilty pleasure anymore. It's just a pleasure. It was a pleasure to read Twilight, and it was a pleasure to read those Nora Roberts novels, and I shall read some more just for the pleasure of it. And that was my point in making the Book Nerd post this week, Mama Gina School of Womanly Arts. It is all about pleasure, and not the kind of pleasure that you give, but the kind of pleasure that you receive and take for yourself. As I mentioned in that blog post, I think that that is something that is completely foreign to so many people, women especially. So many of us, we're like trained to be givers. We give and 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 we give. And we give so much that we have nothing left to give ultimately, and we grow bitter and resentful. But also, I mean, we don't even know how to take pleasure. We don't even know how to let a compliment in and say thank you without like bing, like pushing it away. We are uncomfortable when people try to do nice things for us. Sometimes some of us are. Some of us are working on getting over that. And I think that that book is a really fun, cool way to start thinking in that way. I'm going to give you a heads up about it. Not that I don't love the book, but it is very pink. And she uses the word pussy. If that offends you, please don't buy this book. Please don't write to me how much you hate that word. And because there is a chapter on sex, because it's a book about pleasure, and a lot of people get pleasure from sex, so she had to put that in there, right? But also, I think what might get on your nerves if you're a certain kind of person is she refers herself to Mama throughout the entire book. So, you know, Mama says blah, 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 blah. So if that bothers you, this book might bother you. But if you can see past that, or if you think that is fun, which obviously the bunches and bunches of women who love this book do, then you might really like it. It's a great book for getting in touch with your pleasure. So I will end today's show by asking you, what gives you pleasure? What lights you up? What turns you on? And I don't just mean sexually. What turns you on in life? What motivates you to reach for your higher self or to take a positive action? 90 seconds. Thanks for interrupting me, weird robotic blog talk radio voice. What motivates you to reach for your higher self or take a positive action? And what can you do to create more of that in your life today, right now? Do it. Do it. Don't do one more thing. End this show and then go do something just for the pleasure of it. Because Mama Jo says so, Mama Gina. So much love to you, my friends. Love, 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 love. And I will talk to you next Tuesday. Peace.